Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, you and the CPM Group released a video earlier this week on December 21st. We will link to that video below, and it's titled Hard Gold and Silver Market Lessons Learned in 2021. I wanted to highlight a couple of the points that you bring up in this video because I find them, well, accurate and something that we do need to reflect on to understand why some of those narratives did not pan out. Some of the simple narratives, I guess, that we can start with is that silver did not rise to $100 or more. There is no short squeeze in COMEX silver. You can make the argument that the show called Short Squeeze really put a top. It was the high for the market for this year, and it only made it just over $30. Let's start there when it comes to silver in terms of, look, it was a down year for silver in the face of some people making overly bullish calls. What were some of the issues with silver? Why some of these bullish calls just did not play out?
Well, I think that the simple thing is that the bullish calls did not play out because they were fantasies. They were predicated on fantasies. You had a lot of people who basically are promoters of precious metals. They sell precious metals, you know, dealers, and they were actually paying contributions to other people to tout these ideas. But, you know, we came into 2021 just fine. And then toward the end of January, you started seeing people saying, well, the world's running out of silver. Market inventories are falling. There's not enough silver to meet fabrication demand. And mining production is falling, and we're running out of mineable silver as well as refined silver above ground, none of which is true. Yeah, we have record market inventories in silver, and we have probably, if you count silver bullion coins as well as silver bullion bars, we probably have close to 5 billion ounces of refined silver above ground. Yeah, so there's plenty of silver there. And then you also have this whole shtick about how paper silver on the COMEX is depressing the price of silver, which is just nonsense. If you know anything about financial markets, you know there's no grand conspiracy to suppress the silver and gold prices. So these marketeers would put all that stuff together and say, oh, therefore the world's running out of silver. The price of silver is $20 because banks are suppressing it. And if we squeeze the silver, if we take silver off of the COMEX, we can drive the price to $100. And then as the year progressed, it became $300 or triple digit silver or $1,500 in the minds of one guy. You know, and so it was this total fantasy. And you sucked a lot of investors in with these expectations. The expectations did not materialize because they were based on fantasies and lies. And the silver price started to, well, it moved sideways, and then it started to move lower. And now you have a lot of new investors who are new to silver, who are extremely disenchanted. And, you know, they're blaming silver for not living up to these unrealistic, bogus claims, you know. And so I think that that's what happened. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing particular weakness in the silver market right now. And you're seeing the silver market weaker than gold. And I'm afraid that that's going to carry into 2022. You know, we're all interested not in so much what happened in 2021 as what's going to happen in 2022. And I think one of the things that you're going to see in 2022 is investors will continue to buy gold because they're worried about the real things going wrong in the world. But they're going to avoid silver because they've been had. Yeah, simple put.
Well, Jeff, another one of the lessons you pointed out was that once again, the U.S. dollar did not collapse and the U.S. financial system and the world financial system did not collapse in 2021. Somehow the world kept spinning. So what would you like to elaborate on that point?
Well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Part and parcel with the myths about silver and gold, you had people saying the dollar is going to collapse, that there's this one world entity like the Illuminati that's going to have a global reset, that they're going to call in currencies. And none of that stuff occurred. And the treasury market didn't implode. People are still buying treasuries hand over fist, and they're buying them at low interest rates. And even with all of the monetary supply and accommodation that the Fed has been having, you know, treasury interest rates have not risen. People, people who buy treasuries, who far outpace people who buy precious metals in terms of numbers and volumes and wealth, people who buy treasuries are not saying, oh, you have to pay me really high interest rates for me to take treasuries. In fact, you know, treasury rates, even though they've risen from historic lows, they're still at historic lows overall. So you're not seeing people, investors, run away from the treasury market or other financial markets. The stock market's moved to higher and higher. You know, you go back to early 2021 and some of these guys were saying, well, you know, stock market's going to collapse. We're looking at a 90% decline in the stock market. Well, the stock market didn't decline 90%. It was more volatile than it had been in, say, 2010 to 2018, but it rose to new highs, and the stock market is at new highs all around. So you've got a lot of investors who are saying, you know, I'm just going to stop paying attention to these people who are doomsday soothsayers, and I'm going to focus on what's really going on in the market.
So, Jeff, to your point here, and it's a point that you brought up a number of times over that video, is these intermarket relationships and how some precious metals investors, not just precious metals investors, but commentators in general, can lose fact that all these markets are connected. And sometimes looking at other markets gives you a better idea of where a different market is going. What were some of these intermarket relationships that, quite frankly, just didn't pan out and might not have been paid attention to by some of the precious metals commentators?
Yeah, there's the intermarket relationships, but one of the points that we were making was it's a broader interconnectedness too. And, you know, yeah, obviously the gold-silver ratio was one of them. The idea that the dollar would fall and gold would skyrocket, that didn't occur. The idea that inflation would rise and would bring the gold price up with it didn't happen. I mean, inflation rose and gold hasn't really blinked about it yet. So there are a number of those relationships, the relationship between gold and oil, gold and interest rates, gold and the dollar, gold and money supply growth and inflation. A lot of those things, they're all interconnected. They all matter to each other, but they don't lend themselves to simple ratios, you know. But one of the other points that we made, and I think it's more important, is there's an interconnectedness of gold and other financial markets with politics and society. And again, it doesn't lend itself to simplistic comments necessarily, but I think that what's going on politically and socially in the United States, in Europe, in China, and in other countries is increasingly important to investors as they look at stocks, bonds, gold, silver, and other things. So, and it's interesting because if you go deep and you look and then you see all these doomsday political internet comments, you find that the companies that are putting out those things on the internet are the same, they're all owned by the same company that is also putting out these doomsday things that gold's going to $10,000 and silver's going to $300. You know, so the marketeers of schlock, for want of a better word, they get it too. You know, but I think that, you know, going forward into 2022, you're going to be seeing that a very hostile political conditions, both domestically in a number of countries, but also internationally, from the Ukraine-Russian border to the South China Sea, you've got a lot of political issues that are probably going to be more negative and more prominent as drivers of investors buying gold and, to a lesser extent, silver, and driving the gold price higher in 2022. I think that investors are going to focus more on the political and social problems as opposed to the economic and financial market situation.
Well, Jeff, that's an interesting perspective that some of the geopolitics and some of those concerns may be a catalyst in 2022. You're not the first person we brought on that's mentioned that. So that is on a lot of people's radar, but be remiss if we didn't at least talk about the fiscal side of things. There's both the fiscal policy, you know, in the U.S. and abroad, and there's also the monetary policy from the central banks with all the eyes on the Fed speeding up the tapering and hiking next year and all these big infrastructure bills that they're trying to get passed. What do you think will be a driver for the precious metals in 2022 out of those policies?
Well, you know, the Fed is tapering, and that doesn't necessarily bode ill for gold or silver. I think, you know, the relationship between Fed policy, money supply, inflation, and gold prices, it's complex. And what you're going to see, I think, is that, you know, inflation is up, the Fed is responding, and I think financial markets overall will say, okay, the Fed sees the inflation and they're addressing it. Now, again, you know, the snake oil salesmen are saying, well, the Fed has lost control, the Fed is out of ammunition. No, the Fed has enormous amounts of ammunition. The Fed is not has not lost control, and the Fed is on top of it. And they're saying, okay, this inflation has legs to it, and we have to be serious about fighting it. And I think that they can effectively fight it. So I think that, you know, the rise in interest rates, we're looking at three, you know, the estimates are between 2 and 3 increases in interest rates in the United States over the course of 2022. We're saying it's probably going to be 3. And I think the Fed can manage that because the interest rates, again, are so incredibly low that even if you raise interest rates, Treasury benchmark rates, 75 basis points, you still have very low real nominal interest rates, not the kind of rates. No one's going to say, oh, I can earn 2-2.5% over 10 years by having my money in 10-year treasury notes. I don't need to own gold. No one's going to say, you know, wow, 2% return on a 10-year note. That's great. No, they're going to say, oh, it's 2%. That's still way too low for me to move a lot of my money out of assets from stocks to gold into treasuries. And they're furthermore going to say, okay, it's 2% nominal rates, but you've got 4, 5, 6, 7% inflation right now. So you're talking about historically low real inflation adjusted rates. So I don't think that the monetary policy is going to be negative for gold. I think it's going to be positive for gold. The fiscal policy probably will be even more positive for gold because it's going to be very negative for the economy. And you've seen a number of banks after, you know, Manchin said, no, you don't understand. I'm from West Virginia and I have millions of dollars in oil, gas and coal stocks. you know, this past weekend, you've seen a number of banks downgrade their growth expectations for 2022 because of the ongoing stalemate and ineffectiveness of the democratically controlled government administration and Congress. So I think that the fiscal policy is going to be much more devastating for the economy. I don't know that it throws us into a recession in 2022, but I think it could contribute to problems not only in 2022, but for the next several years, and that those problems are going to be seen as good reasons to have more of your money in gold. And so it's going to be stimulative of investment demand for gold and higher prices.
Okay, so I guess it sounds like a bit more of a defensive trade than moving into gold. What does that mean for the gold stocks then? Because it sounds like you are saying we could see some sort of a recession or even market correction here. We can see precious metals hold up, but then sometimes the underlying stocks, they can get beat up pretty bad on the back end of that. So what's the balance there for next year, Jeff?
Well, again, you know, I do think that the gold stocks will do better than they have been simply because investors will buy into them if the gold price starts rising again. And we do think that the gold price is going to rise again. It may not rise sharply in 2022, but you know it's not. We don't see it falling sharply from where it is. If anything, we see the gold price moving modestly higher over the course of 2022, with bigger moves in 2023 and beyond. And I think that in that kind of environment, investors will be investing in gold shares. In addition to that, I think that you're going to have the larger gold mining companies continue to pick off mid-tier and junior companies because they need to find replacement reserves and resources. So that's going to create an M&A environment that's going to attract investors in. So I think the gold shares will do better in 2022 than they have been, say, in 2021. But, you know, there are any number of investors who say, if I want to own gold, I'm going to own gold, either physical or ETFs. So I think that the gold market may continue to outperform the gold share market.
Okay. Jeff, always great hearing your thoughts, buddy. Thanks for recapping that one video that you guys recently put out and sharing some of your thoughts into next year. Sounds like next year might be more of a process in terms of turning sentiment more favorably to the precious metals, and that could lead into some bigger gains in following years. But man, there are a lot of question marks heading into 2022, and we don't know how those are all going to play out. But again, just recapping the losses this year in gold and silver. Gold's only down 6% this year. Silver's down about 16%. Not as bad as we probably thought those numbers were, considering just how bad the sentiment is.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're looking at point to point. Gold prices on an annual average basis were at a record level in 2021. I mean, it looks like it's going to be $1,799.95, you know, virtually $1,800 annual average price for gold. That's a record. And it's a record by far. And it's up sharply from the previous record, which was 2020. And it's way higher than the 2012 record. You know, so yeah, gold is down point to point over the course of the year, but overall, it's at record levels from a long-term investment perspective.
Very good point, Jeff. Thanks for highlighting that as well. Jeff, as always, great chatting with you, buddy. I hope you have a very happy holiday season. I look forward to chatting with you in the new year. Thank you for all the time you spent with us this year, Jeff.
You're welcome. It's been a fun year, and next year is going to be even more interesting, I think.